It's the Buckeye Leafcast with your host, Andy Evans, and Kevin Imes.
Think about this, and I don't have another way to say this, so without, I can't figure out in my dumb dinosaur brain how else to say this, but...
And now, it's the Buckeye Leafcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Buckeye Leafcast with your hosts. I'm Andy Evans, and joining me for this week's adventure, which should be a good time, talking about another big Buckeye win, it's your man, Mr. Kevin Imes. Kevin, hey, let's just jump right into it. Ohio State winning over Rutgers, third-ranked Buckeyes at home last night, 49-27. Most amount of points ever given up to Rutgers in the seven-game history between the two teams. Of course, the Buckeyes have never lost to Rutgers. They keep that streak intact, but they give up 27 points. So let's talk first about the defense, because there were a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of people, but there were some people that after the game were kind of calling into question the defense. And my thing was, it looked to me like Ryan Day and the defensive coaching staff, Greg Madison, Al Washington, Larry Johnson, you know, those guys all cooked up a game plan where they knew that they could get away with having a lot of backups, not only playing in this football game, but getting significant time on the field. I mean, I know during the second quarter, with about 7 or 8 minutes left, I'm sitting there going, okay, yeah, that guy's not a starter. This guy isn't a starter. That guy's not a starter. So to me, this was simply a practice session, if you will, for them to get some guys on the field and get them some good experience. I don't know. What's your take on it?
We had 32 players make a tackle yesterday. I mean, count that to make sure, but I've counted it twice.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
Okay. You talk about having 32 guys have a tackle. That's getting a lot of your bench involved, you know? Usually, what are we looking at, 12 people getting a tackle?
Yeah, maybe, 15 or so, right? Because you're always going to have...
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess that was... I didn't realize that 32 different people, 32 different guys made the defensive stat sheet. Yeah, that's pretty nuts. I mean, I'm looking at Rutgers, and they probably had... I don't even think they probably had 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I counted 18.
Okay.
18, yeah. So 18 and 32. So, and I guess, once again, that was kind of my point. So I don't know. What did you just think overall?
Overall, I think that you can't take much away from it other than it was a football game that should have been played at noon, not 7:30.
Yeah, right.
But there's a lot. I mean, I think Justin Fields has solidified himself as a front runner for the Heisman. I think that it's really cool to see three pretty strong running backs get involved in the game. I think it's neat to see how he spread the ball around to 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 different receivers. I mean... Get a lot of people involved. We got a lot of talent on this team, and that's what I'm taking from it. I mean, I think what happened in the fourth quarter, they scored 18 points in the fourth quarter. If they don't do that, it's 49-9. Why are we saying our defense is bad?
Yeah. So that's my thing, is that this was a game that seriously Ryan Day knew, hey, I can jerk around here a little bit. I can sprinkle in 32, if not more. There were probably guys that got out on the field last night that didn't register a stat.
Yeah. Of course there was.
Yeah, so you had at least 32 guys registering a stat on the defensive stat sheet. And once again, probably more guys got out there and got some good practice time on the field.
Yeah, so we had guys out there on defense yesterday that were third teamers. And yeah. When you talk about putting third teamers out on the floor, I get it, man. They're gonna make mistakes. They're gonna, you know, give up, you know, a couple points here and there. But I think it's a, I'd rather flip it and make a positive than a negative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got guys like Bryson Shaw, a true freshman safety out there on the field last night. Cade Stover, Josh Proctor, of course, he's seen the field quite a bit. He's not a starter, but Cody Simon, you know, Kevon Pope was out there. Ryan Watts. I mean, I'm looking and I'm like, who the hell is Ryan Watts? I'm like,
Tyler Friday.
Huh?
Tyler Friday.
Yeah, well, yeah, Tyler Friday. I mean, he's a starter, so I would hope to see him out there. But
I'm just saying that some of these guys are making some, you know.
Yeah.
Bryson Shaw.
Yeah, yeah. Ronnie Hickman was out there. Jerron Cage was out there. Craig Young was out there. Craig Young, he had four friggin' tackles last night, dude. And, I mean, we're talking about a backup redshirt freshman defensive end or linebacker.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, me personally, I did not have a problem with the final score being 49-27. Once again, to me personally, you know, Ryan Day, he knew that he had the capability of playing these many guys, winning the football game, but getting these guys practice. And I'm sure he knew, okay, we're going to be giving up some points, but at the end of the night, we're going to get the W. And I don't think, Kevin, that this looks bad in the eyes of the committee. Do you?
Not in the slightest. Not a little bit. I think that the committee's job, they're tasked to look at this stuff. This is what they're supposed to do. They're going to look at stats. They're not just looking at the scores and saying, oh, I like that guy. It's not like back in the day when they do the AP or the coaches and nobody watched any games. They just said, oh, it was 49-27. That seems like the fourth best team in the country because it's Rutgers and it was only a 22-point win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening anymore. I think the committee is tasked with watching a lot of football and looking at a lot of stats before they decide on who's going to be in. And I think it's a foregone conclusion. If we win out, then we're in. It's just going to be, are we going to play Notre Dame or Clemson?
Well, at this point, it'll be interesting to see what happens with both Notre Dame and Clemson. Clemson, of course, losing to Notre Dame last night, but crazy game, dude, going down in overtime. And I think Clemson slips to number four. I think you could see, honestly, Notre Dame hop from number four and over Ohio State to number two, just because A, they played more games, B, they just beat the number one team in the country. I think you're going to see Alabama one, Notre Dame two, Ohio State three, and Clemson four. In fact, Ohio State might slip to number four, and they put Clemson at number three.
Yeah, either one of those things, I would not be surprised if they happen.
Because, yeah, I don't see Notre Dame still being ranked below Ohio State, having played more games this year and having now beat the number one defending, you know, the number one team in the country, not the defending national champ, but still, you know, beating the top team in the country.
Well, I tell you what, Eddie Evans, yesterday was a great college football day.
Yeah.
It was great.
Dude, before we talk a little bit more about this Rutgers game, which I'll be honest with you, Kevin, I think we've almost talked about it enough as we want to talk about it. I do want to dive into a couple things as far as the offense is concerned. But let's talk real quick about yesterday's college football day, because were there not some telltale signs, dude, that at the end of this season there could be some serious shit going down?
Oh, yeah. When have we ever thought to ourselves, Indiana's the second best team in the East?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Second best team in the
East?
No, the East. Yeah.
Yeah, so Penn State's obviously way down. Michigan State's brand new coaching staff, and, you know, they're trying to get up off the ground after they beat Michigan last week, and they get their ass beat. I don't even know what to say about Michigan. I really don't. It's sad, actually. It's sad.
It is sad. I'm serious, Kevin. I'm with you. You know, when you get beat up by the school bully, for years and years and years, and then you finally grow up and get strong to the point where you start kicking his butt back, and then the school bully turns into this just complete pathetic piece of crap who's just curled up in the corner, has just pooped their pants. Now they're curled up in the corner, sucking their thumb, and everybody is just throwing manure in their face, and they don't even have the strength to get up and stand up for themselves. I'm actually starting to feel bad. And I've said this now for a couple of years, Kevin, but this is now getting to be an all-time low. I mean, I really thought that we were going to see a Michigan team that we knew at the end of the year when we played them December 12th, that we were going to get a nice, good dogfight. And once again, it looks like, you know, here's Jim Harbaugh just completely shitting all over himself, dude. And it is. It's sad and pathetic.
Yeah, when Harbaugh was hired, I remember everybody saying, oh, it's going to be the next 10-year war.
I did too. I did.
But yeah, and I tell you what, it's been nothing but crap since he's gotten there. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why. They keep saying on TV, and I listen to some other stuff, and they keep saying, oh, he can't find his quarterback. He can't find his quarterback. Okay, well, at some point, it's not the quarterback's fault. At some point, it's got to be the guy that's trying to find the quarterback, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Joe Milton doesn't seem like he's that bad of a quarterback. But I mean, he's no Justin Fields, that's for sure, but it's not like he's... Yeah, well, Justin Fields is, insane. I mean, ridiculous. He doesn't come along very often at all for anyone. No. But nonetheless, I agree with you, dude. I mean, at some point, come on, Jim Harbaugh. You are a damn quarterback yourself. If you have to coach those quarterbacks, do it. Or find somebody else that you know can get the job done. Because, you've got to take some culpability and responsibility for how these kids are playing on the field, and that is your job, Jim Harbaugh.
Absolutely, you gotta get them ready, you gotta get them pumped, and you gotta, hey man, if your scheme isn't working after 4 or 5 years, you gotta find another scheme. You gotta do something to change, and it just isn't working. Their defense is not very good. Yesterday, Indiana scored a touchdown to go ahead by 17 points, right? And then Michigan scores and comes back, they're down by 10. I was listening to the Michigan broadcast on my radio, and Deardorff, I think it's Dan Deardorff, was saying, oh, we got a football game. Here we go. We're within 10 points. We got a football game. And like 3 minutes later, Indiana drives, I think it was 78 yards, and punches it back in the end zone again. And I'm just like, I couldn't stop laughing. And it's, I mean, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there when we started talking about this. When would you ever expect that Indiana, dude, was going to be the second best team in the Big Ten East Division, and they would be undefeated, having beaten both Michigan and Penn State in the same season? I think they said something that's never happened in Indiana football history.
Has it ever happened that Maryland, Minnesota, and Indiana all won in the same weekend?
Yeah, and then on top of that, you've got Maryland, who's now 2-1. And at one point, I mean, Rutgers, you know, was 1-1 and had beaten Michigan State and beat them convincingly on their field, forcing them into 7 turnovers. And that right now, Michigan State, Michigan would be 1-2. And dude, Maryland not only beat Penn State, Kevin, they knocked the snot out of Penn State. I mean, embarrassing, dude. You want to talk about embarrassing? James Franklin should be embarrassed right now.
That Maryland team and that Indiana team are, and it's funny to say this, but they're legit. They're like really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
I mean, once again, who would have thought after three games in this season? And I understand it's a shortened COVID season.
There's only eight games.
Yeah.
So next week, we're half over.
Yeah.
So.
Eight regular season games. Obviously, everybody is playing a ninth postseason game. So technically, you know, this Big Ten season, everybody's playing nine games. But still, after three games, who would have thought that we'd be sitting here going, okay, Ohio State and Indiana are right now the top two teams battling it out for the East Division title. Michigan and Michigan State are now unranked at 1-2, and Penn State is a god-awful 0-3, and the worst team in the Big Ten East right now, and pretty much battling, I think, like Illinois for worst team in the entire conference.
I never, ever would have thought that.
Dude, is 2020 not the most screwed up year that we've lived in?
It's a very odd year. It is. Hopefully 2021 is a little different.
Dude, what does Jim Harbaugh do to save his job? Is he done? I mean, does beating Ohio State save his job for him this year?
I don't think it saves his job. I think the only thing that's going to save his job this year is COVID-19, because they can't afford to buy him out, because they're losing all the money that they would have gotten if they wouldn't have had COVID-19. I think he loses his job no matter what, but I think it's going to be another year before they get him out of there. Unless he has some kind of weird resurgence next year. But I'm sorry, Michigan, you can't go 0-3 and get beat by Indiana. I mean, that doesn't compute in my head. 1-3, I'm sorry. And get beat by Indiana, it doesn't compute in my head. I think we had this discussion last week. I think Harbaugh is not suited. I don't think he's suited for college football. I think he's suited for the NFL. I mean, he's one pass away from having a Super Bowl win on his career list. He's one pass away from not being at Michigan, but, you know, bouncing around the NFL. So, he's very, very stubborn. I know that. And it doesn't seem like he's willing to make any kind of concrete changes or fundamental changes, if you will. So my guess is he's done after next year.
Do you think that what has now transpired in his tenure at Michigan, because let's face it, I don't think that he did quite what everybody thought he was going to do. And you just said it earlier, and I was of that same belief that when they brought Jim Harbaugh in, I really, really, I did. I thought, okay, now they finally got a guy who gets it. He's a Michigan man, you know. And I know that there were some guys out there going, oh, well, they don't need a Michigan man. They need just somebody who understands how to coach. And I thought, no. Michigan needs a Michigan man, just like Ohio State needed an Ohio State man to reinvigorate the rivalry and reinvigorate a sense of passion about what it means to play at Ohio State and to be a Buckeye. And that was Jim Tressel, and it has not been Jim Harbaugh. I really thought that he was going to be the guy to reinvigorate the program. He hasn't. So, having said that, at least that being my belief, maybe you feel differently. I don't think you do. But
no.
Does his time at Michigan hurt him in getting a job in the pros?
I really don't think it does, Andy. I think the difference between the pros, the difference between Saturday and Sunday is monumental. We talked about this last week. On Saturday, the head coach is more important than the quarterback. On Sunday, there's not even a chance in hell the head coach is more important than the quarterback. I think that he's going to be fine. I don't know. Maybe he takes a year off. Maybe he takes 2 years. But I think he's going to be back in the NFL very shortly. I really do.
See, I don't know, man. For some reason, and I could be wrong, and I think you have a point that the people who truly know football, the ins and outs, and especially the back office stuff, know that there is a huge difference between college and pro, right?
Yes.
And that Harbaugh is more of a pro guy, gets the pro level, relates more with the players on that level. more than he does at college. But I don't know why. I just, for some reason, think that his time at Michigan has hurt him in procuring another job in the pros.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think if this was the second go-around, I think maybe it would. But I think that he has a pretty good relationship with folks in the NFL. I think they know how hard-headed he is, and they know what they're getting. I mean, if you remember back, that's the reason why San Francisco didn't work, because he didn't get along with the GM. So I think if you get an owner that knows what they're doing and can hire a good GM that gets along with him, and they're all on the same page, I think they'll be fine. He's done there. He's done.
So you don't even think if he beats Ohio State this year and...
No. I think at Michigan, I think if you're in Michigan, if you're in Ann Arbor, I think the loss to Michigan State is as bad, if not worse, than Ohio State. Some Michigan people think that the Michigan State games are important. Some, I'm not saying a lot.
I was just about to bring that point up. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's Michigan State loss. Here in Columbus, we don't think it's that big of a deal. But up there, he's 1-4, 1-3 against Michigan State, something like that?
I think he's like a combined 1-5 or 1-6 at home against both Ohio State and Michigan State. But against, and that one win obviously is not against Ohio State, it's against Michigan State. I think honestly, this is what, his sixth year, and he's now 3-3 overall against Michigan State. Because I think when we were talking last week about this, I erroneously said that he's got one total win against both Michigan State and Ohio State. And that's false. Yeah, he's I believe, got three total wins against Michigan State. Obviously, he's got none against Ohio State. So...
That's so gross.
But it is gross, dude. Yeah, that's. I mean, to your point though, if he had beaten Michigan State this year but lost to Ohio State,
it might be different.
Would it be different? Do you think it'd be like, nah, his job's fine because he beat their in-state rival?
I think it could be different. I just don't think it. I don't. First of all, we haven't played them yet, but I don't think there's a chance in hell they're going to beat us. I mean, I know it's the game, and I know it's. But if you just watch the game, we obviously have more talent. We obviously have more speed. We obviously have all three phases put together better. We obviously have the better complete football team. So unless we go up there and John Cooper it, I don't see how we're going to lose.
Well,
so,
the game's down here this year.
I'm sorry. That even makes it – excuse me. That even makes it solidify more that we're not going to have an issue with it. So so we win. Okay, I hate saying it because sometimes we're wrong. Not very often, but we beat Michigan again. So Michigan, can you imagine if Ryan Day was 3-3 against Penn State and 0-6 against Michigan?
No, wait, say that stat again.
If Ryan Day was 3-3 against Penn State and 0-6 against Michigan.
Oh, God. We'd fire him.
We wouldn't even be having this discussion. I don't think he'd even be there. And that's what Michigan's looking at. So he's 3-3 against Michigan State. And he's 0-6 against Ohio State. Come on, man.
Yeah. You're dead. Let's face it. John Cooper, 2-10-1 against Michigan. And split in those 13 years, split a Big Ten title a whopping three times, never won it outright, and couldn't win bowl games either. I think he won, what, two or three bowl games, I believe?
Three, I think. He won the Sugar Bowl in 98. He won the Rose Bowl in 96. And he won – did he win that one Gator Bowl?
No. You want to know what bowl –
Outback.
No. It was the 93 Holiday Bowl against BYU.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, three bowl games. split three Big Ten titles, never won an outright, and went 2-10-1 against Michigan. That was John Cooper's legacy at Ohio State. I realized that he had a ton of All-Americans, had a ton of pro players, some that were All-Pro that lasted a long time in the pros, Heisman Trophy winner, all of that. But let's face it, when it comes down to the end of the year, it's just about that, right?
It is. I have a hard time dissing on Cooper because I love him, but
I know. I mean, what John Cooper did here at Ohio State was, you know, truly. I mean, 13 seasons. Once again, he's a college football Hall of Fame coach. Now, not just because of what he did at Ohio State, but because of obviously, yeah. I mean, his career at, you know, Arizona State and Tulsa but. It's just hard to not throw those stats in when you talk about John Cooper and his legacy. And I think that's what people are going to look at when it comes to Jim Harbaugh being their head coach. You know, same thing. Like, you know, you just said it. Hey, 0-6 against Michigan, or 3-3 against Michigan State, and 0-6 against your arch rival in Ohio State. You know? To your point, Ryan Day, he's going into his sixth season looking like that, where he went 3-3 against Penn State, and didn't beat Michigan at all. Bye, Ryan. And you're pretty much going what, 10-3, you know,
yep.
9-4. Yeah,
you just
not playing.
We talked about that stat yesterday, and I gave it to you wrong first, but I corrected it for you. But in the last 100 years, Michigan has one 12-win season. In the last 8 years, Ohio State has seven 12-win seasons.
That's nuts, dude. I mean, we're talking Michigan football here, dude. The all-time winningest football program in the history of the sport. And they've had one 12-win season. Now, I understand back like 100 years ago, they weren't playing 12 games a season, so it's hard to have a 12-win season when you're only playing like 8, 9, 10 games.
I agree, but that's just that when you say that out loud, it's kind of like, holy God, are you serious? That's how bad Michigan football has become. And it just goes back to what we were talking about last week with how dominant of a program OSU and Alabama is compared to the rest of the country. We're just on a different level.
Dude, you know me. I am a pessimist. I totally look at the glass half empty, and I try to use reverse psychology on myself when it comes to Ohio State and Michigan, okay? Like, when it comes to the game, I never want to sit there and say out loud, dude, Ohio State, without a doubt, the better team, they're going to smoke Michigan this year. Even like last year, you know, 2017, 2015, you know, when we were clearly, when we were definitely the better team, by an inch, not by a whole ton, but, you know, definitely the better team. Even then, I didn't want to come out and say, yeah, dude, we're definitely going to win. But, Kevin, I'm with you, man. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. At this point in the season, it just looks like Ohio State is absolutely head and shoulders. I mean, not just head and shoulders. I mean, they're mountains. They're skyscrapers, dude. They're just – I mean, they're so – they just look so much better than Michigan, that if they, quite frankly, don't beat Michigan down here by, you know, three touchdowns this year, I'll be quite frankly surprised.
Yeah, it looks that way right now. I just typed in Michigan football into the search field. Okay. First four articles. Earth to Jim Harbaugh. Michigan football isn't that good. how much longer will Jim Harbaugh last at Michigan? Michigan's football team is young and disjointed, and Jim Harbaugh's on his way out. That was the first six things that come up. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I wish, I really do. I know this sounds silly in reverse, but I really feel I would much rather them be good. I was sitting there yesterday with my wife watching all these games, and I said, this is bad for the Big Ten. We're going to have Indiana and Maryland. Are they the new Penn State, Michigan? And then I know, God forbid, Wisconsin got they got all those COVID things going on. I hope they can pull it together and figure it out.
Well, they're down to now. If they cancel one more game, they're done. Like, they can't play in the postseason, you know, the Big Ten Conference championship.
See, that's even worse.
Yeah.
So the Big Ten's obviously going to have a horribly down year this year with that going on. But
you know, here's the thing.
Indiana did play. What did Indiana play in the Gator Bowl last year?
I can't remember what bowl they played in.
That's not bad.
Dude, the fact that they played in a bowl.
Right.
Know, God, let's face it, Indiana football is, I mean, they'll have their spurts where they go 7-6 on the year and make a bowl game. And you're like, okay, all right, yeah, hey, you know, good for you, Indiana, yay. You know, it's like the, you know, the...
You're representing the Big Ten.
Yeah, you're representing the Big Ten. But it's like, you know, when Indiana makes a bowl game, now all of a sudden, you know, we're like, hey, that's like the you know, the unathletic kid in the class, you know, like the honestly, man, the four-eyed spaz who gets picked on, that, you know, finally gets redemption and does something good, and everybody's like, yeah, man, all right, you know, good for you, all right, and everybody's happy and rooting and cheering them on. That's like Indiana. You know, Indiana's like, all right, yay, good for you. You made a bowl game. That's incredible.
You guys are doing so well. They played in the Gator Bowl last year and lost by 1 point to Tennessee.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. That's God, so there's
cute
another.
That's so cute that Indiana's doing such a good job. that quarterback seems legit to me. What do you think?
The Michael Penix.
Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah, Jr. I don't think he's pro material, but he's a good athlete.
I don't mean that. I mean, he's a good Big Ten, he's a legit Big Ten quarterback.
I think, honestly, he is. He's good for Indiana, you know what I mean? Considering the quarterbacks that they've had the last several years.
I think he looks really good. I was really impressed with him yesterday.
Yeah, I think yesterday might have been, what, probably the best game that he's had maybe all year?
Well, it was probably the best game of his life. He beat Michigan.
Or right? The best game of his life, yeah, probably. Yeah. Even more so. Yeah, I mean, you know, you lead your team to a 38-21 win. I don't think that he had any turnovers. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. Dude, 30 out of 50.
Yep.
342 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and was not sacked at all.
You see the rushing yard difference between Michigan and Indiana?
Oh, my God. Indiana, 118. Michigan, 13.
What? That can't be real. If you woke up this morning not knowing anything, like you went to sleep last year after the season was over and you woke up today and you saw that, you'd be like, wait, that can't be. What? When's Michigan ever had 13 yards rushing? Ever?
Dude.
Excuse me.
That's...
It's just weird to look at. Hey, yeah. Can we transition to something else?
Let's transition over to the Buckeyes.
Okay.
Let's talk about our game yesterday real quick, because I want to get your feedback on the offensive game that happened. As we said before, Kevin, Buckeyes victorious last night over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights in Ohio Stadium, third-ranked Ohio State 49, Rutgers 27. At the end of the first half, Kevin, it was 35-3. Rutgers did put 24 points on the board, including 18 in that fourth quarter. Buckeyes put up only 14 in the second half, but still a 3-touchdown win. Justin Fields, only 4 incomplete passes, bro. 24 of 28, 314 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks thrown. On the ground, Sermon and Teague both had 12 carries. Sermon led the team with 68 yards. Teague had 60 and a touchdown. Our boy Steel Chambers got in the game, 4 carries for 46 yards. Fields, only 6 carries, was 3rd on the team in carries, but only 7 yards. Did have that little touchdown scamper, second touchdown of the game. But you know what, Kevin? Here's the thing. After the game, Big Ten Network, they're sitting there talking about it, and they're getting on Ohio State about running the football. Guess how many total yards Ohio State had on the ground last night as a team?
203.
203 yards, Kevin, and we're sitting here talking about their running game.
We said it last week. There's no star in the backfield. There's a three-headed monster, and everybody's used to seeing a star. Sermon, I wasn't as impressed with him last night as I was Teague. I thought Teague took 2 or 3 steps forward last night. He actually looked like a Big Ten running back that could be, you know, something else. But Chambers, hold on to the football, young man. You got to hold on to the football.
Yeah, but that's kind of a bummer to see him fumble there near the end of the game.
But once again, We're on a Sunday morning talking about how we didn't look that impressive on the rushing game, but our favorite stat of the day yesterday has got to be Justin Fields, 6 carries for 7 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love that. That makes me very excited to see the fact that we're not leaning on Fields to do what he was supposed to be known for. I know he came out as a dual threat, but he was way more impressive running the ball than he was throwing the ball. And to watch Justin Fields come along as quickly as he has, the accuracy that he has, he's very, very smart with the football. Like you said, no turnovers again. So he solidified himself in my mind as the front runner for the Heisman last night. And I think that we just keep doing what we're doing. Like, the passing game is so fun to watch. We had a few guys touch the ball last night on the offensive side, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. And then you got the running backs as well. So, you know, 13, 14 different people are touching the ball. We're spreading touchdowns around to 4 different, 5 different people. I think our offense is coming along, because what happens when you can't practice the way you normally can at the beginning of the season? And these games, these week-to-week games, are becoming, you know, kind of a preseason thing for us. So, you know, we just keep rolling the way we're rolling. I think the offense looks pretty good. But it is hard to watch, because we're missing that, like, punch you in the mouth, Eddie George or Dobbins or Zeke, or, you know, we don't have that this year. But it looks like Teague is coming around to where he might be that.
And that's exactly it. And like you said, we talked about it last week. I think people, when they see the Ohio State rushing attack, we do expect, you hit the nail on the head. I don't even really have to reiterate it. We're expecting a Zeke. We're expecting an Eddie George. We're expecting, even last year, you know, over 2,000 yards with J.K. Dobbins. And sure, you've got a guy like a Teague last year who will come in and spell J.K. Dobbins. But at that point, you know, J.K. is the man. It's not like right now where we are seeing Teague and Sermon split time with each other. So it's not, I also think that the reason maybe some people are getting on the rushing attack is the fact that not only do we not have that, yes, like one back star that we're falling back onto, but you kind of bring up not being impressed with Sermon. I talked with a couple of other friends who had voiced the same opinion, and it almost seems like because they've got this two, even three-headed monster, if you want to throw Fields in there, that neither Sermon or Teague is kind of getting that, finding that rhythm. And I think that that's a problem when you have two running backs that you're trying to feature in the offense. You know what I mean? Is that not like in the pros where you have one feature back and then maybe you bring another running back in certain situations, or obviously to spell the starting running back and give that backup some good minutes, but not that you're featuring both at the same time. And that's the feeling I get, obviously. I mean, we know this with Sermon and Teague, and I think the stats tell you that because they both got 12 carries in yesterday's game. So it's almost like they're not really either of them are able to find a rhythm. But look at it this way. If those two were one guy, 24 carries, 128 yards, and one touchdown. So, folks, we're not going to see that one feature back getting all of the carries and have a backup get a few carries in a game. You're going to be seeing Sermon and Teague. They're combining like Voltron into one guy. It's just the numbers are splitting up, right? So if you look at it in those regards, Sermon and Teague are just, they're basically two guys combined into one getting, you know, separate numbers. If any of that made sense, which I don't think it did, because now that I said it, it doesn't make sense to me, and I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
I think it makes perfect sense. We got two guys that have become one. They're not on the field doing different things. There's not one that's catching the ball and one that's running the ball. They're both, you know, I know that Teague's not really catching the ball, but it's two guys into one. Like you said, 24 carries for 128 yards and a touchdown. I'll take it. And then you got Chambers. I know a lot of it was in the second half, but 46 yards isn't bad either for another guy. So
yeah, and Steel Chambers is kind of like that backup. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's the backup to the starting running back. We've just got two starters who are splitting time.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, so, you know, once again, I don't know, man. Everybody's complaining about, you know, the Ohio State rushing attack. And let me tell you what, folks, you know, you don't have to run the football with one guy as effectively as you think we may have to when you have one guy who's got at least two, maybe three, maybe four or five different receivers to throw the damn ball to, and who looks like he's looked as, you know, the first three games of the season. I mean, dude, you said it. I have to agree. Right now, Justin Fields, especially now that Lawrence had to sit out the last two games, that may kind of hurt his Heisman chances, but I guess the fact that the Big Ten's only playing nine games, you know, that in and of itself could hurt even Justin Fields' chances. But right now, the way he's been looking, he does look to be the odds-on favorite. And, dude, when you're throwing the football like he's been throwing the ball, and you got guys like Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jeremy Ruckert, you know, throw in a Jackson Smith and Jigba, a true freshman. Throw in Jameson Williams, who had one catch last night, but absolutely
beautiful.
Dusted the defenders to get wide open in the end zone for that 38-yard touchdown catch. So when you got guys like that to throw the ball to, Kevin, I get it that we're Ohio State, and damn it, we got to run the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You know, we still have a bunch of Woody-loving, you know, fans around here who want to see Ohio State run the football. And don't get me wrong, I do too. But as we just said, 203 yards and two touchdowns. Now we've got a prolific passing attack, something that a lot of people around these parts have complained about for, well, not necessarily the last couple of years, because we've had guys like JT and, you know, Dwayne Haskins, and you can even go back to the days of Joe Germain and Troy Smith, obviously, of guys who could throw the football. But still, you know, sometimes we've focus so much on Ohio State and their rushing attack, and then we're like, well, why can't we throw the ball that prolifically? Well, now we are, and then people are like, well, we can't run the football. Yeah, damned if we do, damned if we don't. But seriously, how much are these receivers, Kevin, helping out Justin Fields? Is this a tit for tat? Is it Justin Fields is that good and he's making the receivers look that good? Or is it vice versa, just the receivers are able to get that wide open for him? Or is it obviously a combined effort and everybody's just that damn good and that's why they're throwing the football the way they are this year?
Well, it's obviously a combined effort. Anytime you got a quarterback that throws the ball 28 times, completes 24 of those passes to nine different receivers, that's something special. I don't know if folks understand how neat or how impressive that really is. But like you said, Wilson, six receptions, Olave, five. Williams just had the one, but it was unbelievable. Teague even got out of the backfield, caught three. Jeremy Ruckert, whom I love.
Yes.
love the way he blocks, the way he runs his routes. He's really crisp, really smart guy. And then, you know, the other one's McCall and Sermon. But Njigba is a fella that, like Garrett Wilson last year, we sat here and talked about how good Garrett Wilson was going to be. It looks like Njigba's going to take that next step as well. So 24 to 28, nine different receivers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns, and then he runs one in himself. So I think it's him being special, but these receivers are also pretty gosh darn good.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Smith and Jigba. Two catches. He had a total of -1 yards, though, yesterday. He had one catch for 4 yards, and then he had another catch for -5. So,
it's hard to find this in college. I always see it in pro, but I don't see it in college. The targets. I think he had two incompletions thrown his way, too.
It says he was targeted 3 times.
Oh, three. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. Okay.
But Julian Fleming, another guy, another true freshman that I know the Buckeyes are looking towards for big things. 2 targets. He dropped one wide open pass, but then he caught another one for 27 yards. A lot of potential in that young man, too. So,
yeah.
The future's definitely bright. But so there you go, Kevin. You know, 49-27, is this the kind of game that that we can just kind of, you know, I guess we talked about it earlier. This is not a game, I think, that's going to hurt them in the eyes of the committee. I think this is just, it is what it is. Ryan Day knew what he had, that he could get a lot of different guys out there, and knew that we could get a win. And they did by three scores. So
Go ahead. I think that Ryan Day probably had a plan, and I think we watched it executed pretty well. I mean, I think he went in there saying, hey, let's score 40 in the first half or whatever, 35 in the first half, and then let's get some other guys involved today. It's not a regular – this isn't a regular Big Ten football game. That Rutgers yesterday had a ridiculous amount of trick plays. So, I mean, and then you've got guys in the field when they're doing that aren't necessarily used to being on the field. Things are a little bit different when that happens. So, I'm not taken aback by it all. I think when it's all said and done at the end of the season, you're only going to have 4 or 5 teams to look at anyway to put in a 4-game playoff. So, I think that this is what they're tasked to do. This is what the committee is tasked to do, is to look at this stuff. And I really think they will, and I'm not really concerned. We just got to win out.
Absolutely, I agree. I think Ohio State wins and they're in. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They can have a couple of close games, and I'm sure that they will. You know, looking at the schedule, actually, I don't know. I tell you what here, Kevin. Rutgers, Maryland, and Indiana, 3 teams back-to-back. Any other normal year, you'd be like, okay, well, then let's notch WWW. You know, Rutgers, okay. Yeah, we obviously notched a W and did it convincingly.
Don't sleep on Indiana!
Now we've got to sit here and say, well, gee whiz, we're playing Maryland on the road next week after Rutgers, and then we come home to play Indiana. Now, all of a sudden, this part of the schedule gets a little dicey.
Odd. Very odd.
Very odd. Very, very odd.
At least it's exciting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, and you know what? See, damn it, this is what I love about college football, though. You know what I'm saying? The fact that we're sitting here talking about, opponents that are traditionally not opponents that we get excited for, and we're getting excited for it. Like, all right, Maryland. Yeah, I can't wait to see us play Maryland. This is going to be fun.
I know. Isn't it neat? I'm kind of excited about the game.
I know.
I feel like it's countdown to Terrapin Week.
Yeah.
Anybody got a clock on the Terrapin game? Anybody know how many hours away we are?
Let's see. 3:30 on Saturday. I know we're less than a week away, so. Oh, brother.
I might have to do my Friday ritual for Maryland. I occasionally only do it for the big games, but I might have to do it Friday.
Hey, this has been a non-traditional year, right? 2020 yes. has definitely been a non-traditional year. So let's do something non-traditional in getting ready for the Maryland game. I'm with you, man. If you got to do it Friday night, yo.
That's right. That's right.
Let's get fired up, baby. Maryland.
I'm ready, baby.
Woo!
Yeah.
Maryland. Oh, my God.
Here we go.
This is ridiculous. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is all for us today here in another edition of the Buckeye Leafcast. We appreciate you all coming along. I'm Andy Evans, and this gentleman here, Mr.
John Adams,
joining you for another Buckeye victory. And Kevin, anything else to add before we sign off and send these people thankfully away from us on another Sunday afternoon? Because I'm glad that they're finally like, good, these guys are shutting up and they're finished.
I'm sure, but I would like to say that we are a divided country right now, and I think it's very sad, and I think if we all just learn to want to love one another, we'll all be fine. So, go Bucks.
I couldn't have said it better myself, brother. I could not have said. You're absolutely right. Definitely in the now midst of the chaotic election that it was, and apparently it's over. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But you're right, man. In a time of such discord in this country, you know, it'd be nice if we could all just kind of say fuck it, sit down, crack a beer, and just everybody handshake, smile, and have some fun. Even if we are playing the hated Maryland Terrapins this weekend.
One love, Andy Evans. One love.
One love, baby. Let's leave them like we always do. OH. Go Bucks.
Back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town, to the stadium to hear the band, by far the finest in the land. I want to go back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town. I want to go back, I gotta go back to Ohio.